Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, how are you doing today? You ready to talk some Penn State football?
Always. Let's do it.
All right. Well, a week ago, we talked about running backs and the offensive line. They seem to be the positions du jour. It's what everyone was talking about then. And I thought we'd just keep this kind of tactic going forward. Let's talk about these all the positions. Let's hit on the receivers this week. We'll talk wide receivers first, then we'll get to the tight ends. So, starting with the wide receivers, first of all, let's talk about the guys who aren't going to be there anymore. We know Jahan Dotson, that was pretty much set. He'll possibly be a first-round pick. You knew he was going to move on. We also had Kyam Sullivan Brown and Daniel George move on. That wasn't any surprise, was it?
No. And, in the case of Kyam Sullivan Brown, injuries were a big part of his situation at Penn State, so that's unfortunate. Then with Daniel George, the opportunities were there early in his career, and this is what happens with the transfer portal, where you have guys that get passed up by younger players, and then they don't have playing time, and you expect them to move on and look for other places where they can play and contribute to a team. So that's what Daniel George is going to be doing here in the future. So, it's always disappointing, I think, from both perspectives when that happens. I don't think coaches want that to happen, but it's the reality of football. It's reality of life. You have an opportunity and it doesn't work out, then, somebody else is given that opportunity.
I believe you're right. Nobody is ecstatic that, oh, good, somebody transferred. His career here wasn't a success. But I think this is what the transfer portal was built for, though.
Yeah.
Here's a player, he's been passed by other guys. You know what? It's probably in Penn State's best interest and in the player's best interest that he moves on. I think everyone's a winner in that way.
Yeah, and a guy like that, even when Penn State was struggling on offense and they did have some either injury issues or some problems at receiver with Keandre Lambert-Smith and his drop issues, some of these guys didn't see the field, even in those situations. So you're right, that is what this is for. It just, to me, not that you want, this is the freedom you're talking about, yes, but there are players in these situations that are still valuable to the team that no longer are on the team. And I guess I think of Daniel George a little bit in that way, of a guy who still has potential to be good somewhere. And he's going to, hopefully for him, realize that somewhere else. But that depth and value of player no longer exists on the roster because all of them are transferring. And you look at the middle of, juniors and redshirt sophomores, and there's a lot of those guys that don't make it to that point in their career at their first school, and it's what creates the issues of depth and I think positional flexibility at some positions going forward for teams with the transfer portal.
Let's now turn to the guys who are here and are returning. At the top, you have Parker Washington. I guess the question is he ready to be the number one guy? He certainly looked that way, looked the part in the bowl game.
Yeah, I think so. To me, it's about usage pattern to be the number one guy. Because if he's a slot receiver, it's very hard to be a slot receiver, especially if you're not a KJ Hamler type, where Penn State, when KJ was the number one receiver, they were forcing the ball into his hands in a variety of ways. That's kind of the thing about the slot, is you need to find creative ways to get the ball to that player, if you don't have a boundary receiver. There's just, in the slot, there are more ways to take that guy away with double teams and zone coverages and stuff like that. So if he gets to see some more valuable targets, I don't think that there should be a huge drop-off, especially with some of the other guys we'll get to. And he's got the ability to do a bunch of different things. He's been filling one particular role. I would like to see and have more information personally on whether or not he can play on the boundary and what the value of him out there is. Because the ball skills, high pointing, physicality. He's got all those things. The only thing he isn't is 6'1". But you can play, I'll say it for the millionth time, you can play big and not be big. And I think he does that. So him on the outside, or him seeing some more flexibility inside outside, I think that would increase his value and make him a number one. But it's just hard to do from the slot, and I think it makes you less effective if as an offense if you try that.
Part of this discussion, though, has to be about the new guy, right? Mitchell Tinsley. What will he offer to the team, and how will that help Parker Washington? Go ahead, tell me.
So Tinsley is a boundary receiver, especially the way he was used at Western Kentucky. I think he can. I would be interested to see if he can play inside or if there is more versatility there than what he was at Western Kentucky. He was the boundary receiver. So in a lot of those early in the season, especially, he was blocking on screens because he was one of their more physical, strong players. So he was out there blocking on a lot of swing passes and screens and things like that. By the end of the season, they were feeding him targets. They were forcing him targets because he was so valuable with the ball in his hands. So as a receiver, his explosiveness comes from more than just his speed or his size. Really, he's a combination of all of those things. And he's a true boundary receiver, which is what I think kind of locks Parker Washington into the slot again with the body types around him. So, you know, I don't want to say that Tinsley's going to come in and be the guy when you have Parker Washington on the field, but there's certainly a case to be made that he's going to fill that Jahan Dotson position to keep uniformity in the offense from one season to the next.
I got to think that's not the worst thing in the world for this team,
right,
to have Tinsley allowing Parker Washington to do the things that we already know he's really good at. And if there's a 1A and 1B, I don't see a problem with that. More good targets. Keandre Lambert-Smith is the other guy who has a lot of starting experience. We know both he and Parker Washington in the 2020 season kind of got thrown to the wolves as true freshmen. How do you see him advancing with the offense? You alluded to some of the drops that he had, but he's still proven to be a capable receiver.
Yeah, it's just when you get it out of him. That's the biggest thing, is he is big, fast, and eats up a lot of yards. So, you know, just the way he runs is big time. You know, I'm having a hard time describing all the things he does, but like, he's a long strider with a great frame and has all of these skills that you're looking for from a boundary receiver, especially like a deep play threat. And I think when he catches the ball, he catches the ball great, you know, away from his body. He gets his hands up, but there are just too many times where if you're running an RPO and you suck the defense up into the line of scrimmage, linebackers vacate, it's the guy who's getting the one-on-one on the backside that's typically targeted with the RPO pass, the slant or the deep slant kind of on that post sort of boundary where it's like 8 to 10 yards. On too many of those plays, he just didn't catch the ball. Those are supposed to be. He beats his guy one-on-one. That's his job as that big number one type receiver. And then he catches the ball in a big window. And then if he can do anything with it after the catch, that's great. So that's the design designed for him. And a lot of times he didn't come up with that play, and it stalled a lot of drives because that's the first play of the game a lot of times is establish the run is still what defenses are expecting, and Keandre Lambert-Smith then, he gets targeted with those plays, and he drops the ball, and it's 2nd and 10. And you started off pretty poorly. So it's the situations those drops come in late in games against Michigan State when you're trying to win, you're trying to put together a drive. It's just the consistency. Other than that, I think he's progressed as a route runner and all of those things. So just consistently catch the ball, and you'll be fine. And not just fine, you'll be a huge productive member of this offense.
So that would be a top three of Tinsley, Washington, Lambert, Smith. You need more depth than that. My question is, among the returning guys, who's the next guy who's going to step up? We have options. There's Malik Mega, Liam Clifford, Harrison Wallace, Jaden Daunton. Who's the next guy up, T. Frank?
I think Malik Mega is going to get the first opportunity, but for as much as some fans want to buy into the 6'4", 210, 215, runs like an Olympian, He has 3 catches for 78 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets. So there's just not enough information there. I view him and Keandre Lambert-Smith almost as co-starters. Like, they're going to be sharing that position. I would expect that. Now, there's nothing to say that that's going to be the case. If so, you know, I think they can play either boundary position. But I would think that Tinsley comes in and is that guy with Washington over on that side and that other boundary receiver. That's going to be where you split those reps. Harrison Wallace got a lot of opportunities, actually more so than some of the other guys last season. So he would be the next guy up. And then Liam Clifford, I'm intrigued by Liam Clifford because he's big, 6'2", over 200 pounds, but he's got slot skills. So I think he could bring a different sort of mix to the inside as a big physical slot receiver who has, again, position versatility to play inside and outside. He's a good route runner. That's the one thing I noticed from him in high school, and I imagine that got much better this past season as a redshirt.
The next level are the true freshmen coming in. There's a few guys who have been talked about, potential to play wide receiver, defensive back, but the one name that keeps coming up as a possibility to step right in and be a factor is Kalen Saunders.
Yeah.
Is he ready to step right in and be a factor?
Sure. You know, he's here on campus early, and that's a huge part of it, too. One of the things I talked about in his recruiting profile is he just needs to get a little bit bigger. You know, at 165 pounds is what we had him listed at previously. It's just a little bit undersized. He's at 170 already. He's in the winter programming right now. If he's 175, that's fine. Like, that's a great place to start for a true freshman who has as much speed as he does. So he is much more of a vertical slot. He gets compared to KJ Hamler a lot. I think he's a little bit bigger than that. Somebody made the comparison. He's somewhere between Jahan Dotson and KJ Hamler. It's not a bad place to be to start. And good route runner and great ball skills. I don't want to overhype freshmen, but it's hard not to. I think he can be very, very good. So he's going to be a factor in the spring, and that's going to determine whether or not he's a major factor in the fall.
It's intriguing to me, this whole wide receiver position. Remember not too long ago, this was the biggest question mark. Was it going into the 2020 season?
Yeah.
Now, it just feels like it's really been stabilized, hasn't it, T. Frank?
Yeah, but don't get too comfortable, because that's how this works, is you got some good players and all of a sudden they're gone. Parker Washington and Mitchell Tinsley, this might be their last year, so then you're looking at replacing 2 players. Not to get way ahead of the conversation, but that's how it works, right? So the 2023 class has to have some good receivers, and it's a volume position. That's the thing about receivers. You need to have a volume of them coming into your program at all times. Penn State had a dip, and now they're back to getting a volume of good players and good prospects.
You just couldn't let me be happy there, could you, T. Frank? You just had to, like, pop that balloon of enthusiasm. You just can't help yourself, can you?
It's like being on a paddleboard. You know, be happy in the moment, but know that you got to keep your balance.
All right, good enough, T. Frank. That's it for the wide receivers. Quarter number 2, we're going to talk tight ends.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.